Certainly a privilege to be able to stand here this morning and say to you that God is good. God is so very good that many times in our lives we can't stand Him. And we find ourselves hiding from Him because of our fear of Him. I want to talk to you this morning about the fear of God. We misunderstand the meaning of the fear of God many times. And because of that, we miss much in our relationship with God. In contrast, let me give you two scenarios regarding our human relationship. This is a contrast of fear and fright. As the story goes, he swung on the gate and looked down the street, awaiting the sound of a familiar feet. Then suddenly came the sweet child's eyes, the marvelous glory of morning skies, for a manly form with a steady stride, drew near to the gate that opened wide. And the boy sprang forward and joyfully cried, "Papa's coming!" Now, in contrast, observe the following. The wasted face of a little child looked out of the windows with eyes made wild by the ghostly shadows and failing light, and the glimpse of a drunk man in the night. Cursing and reeling from side to side, the poor boy trembling and trying to hide, clung to his mother's skirts and cried, "Papa's coming." Thus the contrast between the significant meaning of fear on the one hand and fright on the other. Similarly, unfortunately, we do that sometimes with our God for no cause from Him whatsoever, because He is so good. The wise man in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 said to us, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now, if we can just assimilate in our mind the meaning of fear, the fear of God, that will help us to go a long way in developing a relationship with God our Father. To understand the fear of God, perhaps we need to begin by saying this morning what fear of God is not. Certainly, the fear of God is not the wicked man's fear. In Isaiah 57, the prophet said, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." That's not the fear of God that the wise man refers us to in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 when he said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You see, God does not teach us who are forgiven to be miserable or anxious or frightful about our relationship with God. It was Jesus who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jesus was not in any way causing fear to arise in our hearts, the fear of the wicked. The Christian's fear and the sinner's fear are in contrast, and a great gulf separates them, and there is a marked difference in the two. Secondly, the fear of God is not the fear of calamity. It was Peter who wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, "And who is he that will harm you if you are zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are you. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Fear is not the calamity of the wicked. What is fear? It's certainly not these things. In Isaiah 8 and verse 12, the prophet said, "Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it." The fear of God is certainly not a fear of calamity. Furthermore, the fear of God is not a fearful expectation of judgment. In Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, the writer said, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." But you see, that is the product and the result of willfully mocking God, willfully refusing to acknowledge the truth, willfully sinning in His face. That kind of fear will indeed devour the adversary. But it is not a part of the Christian's fear. The Christian's gospel offers peace, not fear. It does not offer torment. It offers comfort and consolation. This is not the fear of God. But what is the fear of God? The fear of God is not a negative restraint, but a positive quality with the deepest overtones, someone wrote. To fear God is to stand in awe of Him. The psalmist writes, for example, in Psalms 33 and verse 8, "Let all the earth fear Jehovah. Let all the earth stand in awe." Awe, of course, refers to the feelings of fearful or profound respect or wonder inspired by the greatness, the superiority, and the grandeur of a person, namely God. In Psalms 22 and 23, the psalmist said, "You that fear Jehovah, praise Him. All the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and stand in awe of Him. All you, the seed of Israel." We must cultivate and nurture this feeling and this attitude. As a slave fears his master, so we fear our God Almighty. As a citizen fears his king or president and stands in awe of him, so he stands in awe of Almighty God. To fear God is to reverence Him. Psalms 111 and verse 9 says, "Holy and reverend is His name." As a child fears or reverences his parents. And the scriptures say in Hebrews 12, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them much reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live?" Psalms 103 and verse 13. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." indeed. To fear God is to stand in awe of Him. To fear God is to reverence His name. But also to fear God is to honor Him. As the Son honors His Father, so we honor God. In Proverbs 3 and 9, the writer said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops." We honor and respect God by our obedience and by our willingness to please Him and to satisfy Him and to seek His approval. We want to be approved by God. We want to be known by God. We want to be acknowledged by God. We want God to know our name. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to introduce us to His Father. And so we honor God. To fear God is to regard or highly respect Him. Jesus did this on a number of occasions. What does the fear of God do for us? What are the outcomes? What good is it if we fear God? If we stand in awe of Him? If we reverence Him? If we honor Him? If we highly respect Him? What good will that bring to our lives? He who stands in awe of God, reverences, honors, highly respects, regards, and esteems Him, will produce fruits in his life which have the inner potential of turning the world upside down and bringing great and wonderful and awesome peace to himself and to those who surround him. You find a life that's upside down. You find a troubled family that's broken in pieces, you will find a lack of reverence and respect for God Almighty. Because those two entities run hand in hand. We are the product of our own ill-advised response to fear. The fear of God, we're told in Acts chapter 10 in regards to the conversion of Cornelius, works righteousness. You see, Cornelius was a fearful man. That is, he stood in awe of God. He respected God. He honored God. And God opened the door that he might see his righteousness. And he might be able to pattern his life according to that righteousness which God revealed to him. And He'll do the same for us today. If we fear God, He will work righteousness within our lives. If we don't fear God, we stand to be unproductive and unfruitful. As we fear God and give Him audience, and we're awestruck by His presence, we will keep His commandments. The Bible teaches us in Psalms 111, verse 10, "The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they do have, and they all do His commandments." Are you keeping God's commandments? Are you obeying His will? Are you serving Him in His duty requirements of you? If you fear Him, give Him respect and honor, you will be doing just that. In Joshua 24 and verse 14, Joshua was introduced by Moses to the people of God to succeed him. Moses had something to say to the people of God at that time. And in verse 14, he said to them, "Now therefore, fear Jehovah and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And then he went on to say, make a decision between the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, thus the idolatrous worshippers of that day, or Jehovah God who dwells in heaven, who has given you this, who has given you this land of plenty and prosperity. But you must make that decision. And then he concluded, now therefore fear Jehovah and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Are we doing that today? Are we seeking to serve our God in sincerity and in truth? And then fearing God causes us to depart from evil. We will run from temptation. We will hide from Satan. The proverb says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool bears himself insolently and is confident. This past week, we were discussing the lives of certain concerns of ours, and the remark was made, if that person would just change his associates, if he would begin associating with people who want to do right, who want to live right, who want to be right, then his life would change. But as long as he's in association with those who don't want to do right, who will not depart from evil, who participate in wickedness every day of their lives, then they too will be contaminated and drawn away from the path of righteousness. That's what the wise man says here in Proverbs 14:16. The wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool bears himself insolently and is confident. For example, the telephone rings and Jane answers it, and on the other end of the line is Mary. And Mary says, Jane, we're going to have a party tonight at Joe's house, and it's going to be a real dinger. Everybody knows what that means. It's going to be one in which all of the restraints are lowered and lessened and removed. You come and do what you want to do. You come and drink what you want to drink and partake of what you want to partake of. You'll be a part of the gang. But a wise person fears and departs from evil. But Jane decides to bear herself insolently, and that means to say goodbye to goodness and righteousness and become a participant in wrongdoing and evil. You see, when we fear God, there is a great transforming power that comes over us. We're awestruck by God. We know His presence is ever with us, wherever we go. And so we let that transforming power take over, and we say to our unrighteous and wicked friends, sorry, but I'm changing my life. I'm no longer in fear of your insolency. No longer am I awestruck by your disobedient behavior. No longer do I want a party with the friends who lead me astray. I'm moving in another direction. I'm going to be worshiping God now. I'm going to commit my life to righteous productivity. I'm going to fill my life with peace and joy and obedience and love and sincerity and compassion and faith. And consequently, from these committed lives come Christian developed families. And from these Christian developed families come congregations of God's people who have said to the world, "We fear you no more, for we fear our God." Who is awesome, who is good, and who is righteous. Fear God and keep His commandments is the message of the hour. Have you kept His commandments? If not, do so. Make that decision right now as we stand and as we sing.